Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day outside. So, Dylan and Reese, how is it with two? Good. Reese, you doing okay? Baby is doing fine. And baby's name? Whip. Okay? Nice. Okay? Reminds me of one of those names that, like, just tells you something about the child. So, we'll see. We have a nephew named Steele. Formed a very strong name. Whip is good. I like it. You both look like fairly well awake this morning. I'm impressed. Good. Next week, Sunday, don't forget this, Mother's Day. So, children, hint, hint, Mother's Day next week. So, and husbands, don't forget either. So, normally I remember on Friday. So, here's a little more of advanced warning for you. All right, this morning we're going to be in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 will be our text. So if you would please turn there. And as you can see, the title of today's sermon is a little different than what I normally put, Controlling the Green-Eyed Monster, okay, which is what I believe James is talking about here. So James 4, chapter 1 through verses 1 through 10. He says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, because you do not ask. You spend and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit he has made to dwell within us'? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Lord, we pray this morning that as we look at this text, you would help us to understand it rightly by your Spirit, and that through it we would be both encouraged and challenged, Lord, to attack this green-eyed monster, to get him under control, and to, Lord, slay him by your Spirit. And so we give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, many of you come from large families, larger families. Okay, to me, a large family is five children and more, maybe. I grew up around small families. You have lots of siblings. I only have one. Her. Okay? This is my sister. And my sister counts for three. Or at least that's how I felt when we were children. Okay? Growing up, I'll just tell you this, she's 2 years younger than I am, but she likes to think she's the oldest. We are opposite in about every way known to man. Okay? We are opposite in how we think, we're opposite in how we communicate, we're opposite in, not all beliefs, but we're opposite in philosophies of different things. You name it, we are just opposite. I tried to convince my family she was adopted, my mom tells me she wasn't. To be honest, we fought all the time, okay? I don't even remember what we fought about, but we would argue at least four times a day and have at least one knockout, dragout, probably 5 days out of the week, Okay? She was really good at guerrilla warfare, the hit-and-run tactics, so she'd come hit me and run off, and she could get away faster than I could. But if I ever got a hold of you, hold of her, it was game over. I mean, we just argued all the time. Okay? And I, like I said, I don't remember what most of the arguments were about. Okay? But I'm sure a lot of them were based on envy and jealousy. Okay? She was envious of how I rarely got in trouble, and she always did. Reality was, I knew when to be quiet, and she always had to have the last word and win the argument. So, Mom and my sister would just go at it, and I would just stay quiet, and finally Mom would say, Danny, just go to your room, and Mary was there for another half an hour. Okay? And just, you know, I never got in trouble. She just always had to win. Okay? She spent a lot of time with my folks because she needed to win, okay? And I got jealous of how much time she spent with Mom and Dad, okay? We just always argued. Lots of envy and lots of jealousy go into our relationship, okay? I would like to say that we are great friends, and I think we're pretty good. Will we ever be best friends? No, we just live in two very different worlds from one another. Okay? And I would like to think that this habit of fighting with my sister, I left that in my youth. No, I didn't. I carried it with me into adulthood. Okay? And I find myself arguing and getting into fights with different people and other things. Okay? I wish I would have learned my lesson and just said, okay, I did that when I was young. I'm going to stop that. I'm never going to fight and argue with anybody anymore. Well, I got married and I had kids, and that just kind of wrecked it. No, I get into arguments with different people all the time. Okay? Envy and jealousy are things that we carry with us. They're things that are just part of our sinful nature, and they're something we have to learn to control, if not slay. And so James talks about envy and jealousy in this passage this morning, and I want to highlight what he says. So, the cause of the fighting. Okay? What is the cause? Well, what starts arguments? Well, James tells us. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Okay? We're emotional creatures, are we not? We have feelings, okay? Do those feelings ever get hurt? Sure they do. What happens when they get hurt? We act out in different ways, okay? Or we want something and we can't get it, okay? Something like that. Those are causes of fights, and these desires, these passions, create conflict. It reminds me of Paul's description of himself in Romans 7. Okay, many of us know this, but he says this, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Do you see the conflict here? What I want to do is what I don't do, but what I don't want to do is what I do. And why is this? Okay? Anybody feel like this? Okay? Yeah, this is human experience here, and Paul is just describing what's true for, I think, all of us. There is a battle going on the inside, and that unsettledness comes out and causes us to argue and fight with one another. And for the Jewish Christians to whom Paul is, or James is writing, these fights and quarrels seem to be a common occurrence, okay, for these Jewish believers. Okay? They want something they couldn't get, whether that's their way, financial support, etc. There seems to be arguments and fights among the Christian community. Okay? They're arguing with one another, and it has broken out. Now, my mom had a saying, and I never liked this saying, but along with God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so be quick to listen, so to speak, Mom also said this, it takes two to tangle. Okay? Or some version of that. I didn't like that either, because what did that mean? It means I was involved, right? Okay? We often like to blame the other for starting an argument or a claim. Okay? Or claim the devil made me do it. Right? How many arguments do you get in that it's the other person's fault? All the time, right? I didn't start it. Okay? They did it. They provoked me. I'm just responding. Okay? Your children. How many times will they say, yeah, I started it? Never? Very few. Dude, you're weird. Okay? So, no. But, I mean, I could ask different families in here and their kids and say, so who started this fight? Did you start it? No. They started it. The brother, the sister started it, something. We always like to blame others. But James is very clear that arguments, fights, the problem starts within us. Okay? When something steps in our way of fulfilling our desires, we tend to fight or argue until we get our way or until somebody settles the matter. Okay? Now, hopefully all of us would not, no matter how upset we become, would not murder somebody else. I hope not. Okay? If you do, we have a cop in the back. Okay? So, but hopefully it wouldn't go that far. But we should always remember Christ's interpretation of the law. Okay? Here's what he says. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. For Jesus, it's not the action of murder that's all that's bad. It's the actual thought. It's the actual desire to be angry that leads to it. That's something that we have to address. See, when we fight out of frustration, oftentimes we fail to turn to the Lord. We become so self-absorbed that we forget about God's provision. When we do ask, that God doesn't grant our request because it would be feeding our selfish desires. Okay, instead of trusting the Lord, we turn them into a vending machine to get what we want. Okay, I don't know if you ever did this with a kid, but I think I prayed to the Lord several times for God to turn my sister into a monster. Or to turn her into a pig, or to turn her into something else, just so I wouldn't have to deal with her. Okay? Did God grant any of my requests? Well, yeah, she's kind of a monster, but so was I. But she never turned into a pig. She never, like, moved to a different family, which I'm sure I prayed for. Okay? God never did that. Why? Well, it wouldn't be consistent with his character, too. He's like, Danny, you got things to learn. I'm like, yeah, but sensibly nicer. Okay? But no, God doesn't do that. Okay? And I found when I pray selfish prayers that God doesn't answer. Right? Now, I'm in a church that likes trucks. Right? If you had your dream truck, I'm sure you could name me the brand and the model and the engine and the chrome package and all of that, okay? I didn't grow up with trucks, so I've told you this before. I want a Mustang, metallic blue with white racing stripes. That's what I want, okay? Has God ever given me the Mustang I want? I wish. He gave me a Hot Wheels car of it, okay? But he didn't give me the life-size version. Why? Because he knows if I got a Mustang, it's going to be all about me, and it's going to take me away from him. So God says, no, we're just going to give you old cars. Okay. God knows best. Okay. He has things he wants me to learn. Okay. Refusing to grant our selfish requests, I think, is an act of love from the Lord. Okay. He's like, I'm loving you by not giving you what you asked for. And James gets to the point in verses 4 to 5. He says this. He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit he has made to dwell in us?" Okay. These passions of jealousy and envy, these feelings, have their root in discontent. Okay. It's the same reason why marriages often dissolve. Discontentment with the relationship, discontentment with the way things are, crack the foundation of a marriage. Okay. This discontent leads to feelings of envy and jealousy of what other people have, what we see, oh, they're happy, I want to be happy, things like that. And these passions and feelings become the truth that people believe that end up toppling the relationship. Okay? It comes from discontent, feelings of envy and jealousy oftentimes. Okay? While believers should be content with God, okay, they saw something attractive in the world and ran toward it. Okay? That's why James says, "You adulterous people." Okay, he's not calling us that particularly. He's calling his Jewish the readers that. And he's saying, you are running away toward other things. Okay? You have become discontent with the Lord, and now you are trying to find your contentment in other things. James is calling them back before the relationship dissolves completely. Okay? He's telling them, basically, you can't have your pie and eat it too. Okay? You can't be committed to God and also have what the world offers. He says it's an exclusive relationship. Those who love the world are enemies of God, and those who love God must reject what the world offers. How do we know this? By what James says. He says God yearns jealously over the Spirit he has made to dwell within us. He is jealous for us. He is protective of us, wanting to protect us from anything that might take us away from him. Okay? God says, "You are mine." Okay? Anything that comes in the way of that, God's going to fight against. He wants us to get rid of. Okay? He wants all of us. Okay? That's why when James says to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God, it makes sense. Because anything that takes us away from God is something that God detests. Okay? And so God's jealousy is a good thing. Okay? And the world is not out for our good, but for our harm. Now, I often use a word picture, I think I've used it here, to describe a life that God gives his children. And that picture is of a fenced pasture. Right? The fences are the rules that God has put in place for life. Well, what are they? 10 commandments. So love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. The fruits of the Spirit. Sexual morality and purity. There's all sorts of boundaries in Scripture. Okay, it's a fence around a pasture. Within the pasture, we are free to move and live and have joy. And we have complete freedom within that pasture. But what do we tend to do? What do cows tend to do? Stick their heads through the fence. Why? Grass is supposedly greener on the other side of the fence. Okay? Even cows are tempted or desire to get outside of what's safe. Okay? Jealousy and envy take us to want something that's outside the fence. And I think if given time and opportunity, what we often do. Stick our head through the fence. Or break the fence down and go on the outside of it. Okay? Well, what's on the outside of a fence? Roads. trucks, dangers, other things. And so there are consequences that may very well come to us when we break out of what the area God has designed for us to live, and there are consequences for those decisions to go outside. And Shakespeare. I don't quote from Shakespeare much because I don't understand much of what Shakespeare writes, except Romeo and Juliet. I did get that one. Okay? But Shakespeare called envy the monster, okay, in his play Othello. And the ancient Greeks thought envy turned a body pale because they believed that envy released excess bile from the blood. Okay? And so because of these, envy is sometimes called the green-eyed monster. And it's a powerful enemy to overcome. It's envy for a classmate's popularity that lead Christian students to drink and party when the wise choice is to head back to their dorm. It's envy that causes us to make a harsh comment under our breath about someone who's doing well. It's envy that causes comparisons to be so devastating. And envy finds socially acceptable ways of expressing a personal resentment. See if any of these makes sense to you. When I talk of someone I envy, I may say, well, he's an excellent salesperson, or he's an excellent communicator, but he's really not that sincere. Okay? What have I just done? I've complimented, but I've also torn him down. Envy will not let me end the statement by saying, he's a really good communicator. I could end it right there, be a compliment, but he's not all that sincere. Okay? We'll throw that in at the end. That's the but approach. Okay, the reversal is this. Somebody does a really good job, and I cast a shadow over it by questioning the motive. Take this for example. An individual gives a generous gift, and we mutter, oh, he's obviously just trying to impress us. Or, what does he want? Okay. Yeah. Yes, you're doing something nice, but there's got to be a hidden motive here. Okay. Envy. It's jealousy. Okay. Or the unfavorable comparison. The singers do a really good job on Sunday morning, but somebody in a congregation says, yeah, that was okay, but you should have heard the other church's musicians. Like, they really nailed that song. Envy. Jealousy. Okay. It's a curious fact that envy is found, is a tension often found among professionals. Doctors, singers, lawyers, authors, entertainers, preachers, educators, and the like. Okay? Such capable folks find it nearly impossible to applaud others in their own field who excel a shade or two more than they. It's like, oh yeah, he's a good preacher, but he missed that point. Okay? I find it really hard to listen to other people's sermons. Like, I can listen to Alistair Begg, Andy, and others who are really good preachers, but, like, other preachers in the area who I listen to, and I go, oh, they missed it. And it's like, why do I do that? Why can I not just say you did a really good job? Okay? Because I am jealous of them. Okay? I'm envious. And I got to find some way to take a knife and twist it a little bit, okay? I think envy and jealousy really show themselves when we cannot be sincerely happy for somebody else who's succeeding more than we are, okay? And I think that's a key thing we have to pay attention to, okay? But, like a good doctor, James not only names the illness, envy and jealousy, but he also provides a remedy. So you see this in verses 6 through 10. He says, he, God, gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So, how do we slay this monster? To slay the green-eyed monster of envy, we must seek the humility of surrendering to God's control. Okay? Life isn't, quote, fair. Not everybody gets the same thing. Okay? God gives different gifts and abilities and passions and successes and whatever differently to different people. Okay? That's okay. And if we're on the side that God blesses with a lot, great. Be humble in that. If we're on the side where God doesn't give us enough worldly stuff or influence or whatever, go, okay, God, I'm not going to compare myself with others. I'm going to trust that you have a purpose and a reason, and I'm going to live and grow with what you've given me. God is in control. I'm not. Okay? When I try to control my life, things don't go well. Or when I get envious of others, and I have tried to be other people. Okay, when I was first a youth pastor, I tried to imitate every other successful youth pastor in town. You know what? I failed miserably. Why? I'm not them. Okay? I was envious of Jason and Dwayne and all these other guys. It's like, no. So they drew big crowds of kids. You know what I drew? I drew misfits. I drew everybody that didn't fit in the other youth groups. We had a group of just, in the nicest complimentary way possible, weird kids. Okay? I blended up a Happy Meal, Clara. I blended up a McDonald's Happy Meal with a brownie in it for color. And I said, all right, here's the game. First person that can drink this. Okay? I had kids fighting over it. Fighting over it. One kid downed it in like 2 minutes. It was disgusting. That was my youth group. I'm like, what is with this? Okay? I had to learn to be myself and not be envious of everybody else. Okay? God is writing a different story with each person and with each family. Okay? And it's fine. Just to allow God to do what he will. The second thing you need to do is to resist the monster's leader. And who's the leader? James says it's the devil. Okay? So to resist him. And resisting the devil consists of recognizing his temptations and refusing to give them a second look. We say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to do that. We recognize worldly themes and books, movies, online, advertisements, everywhere. And we choose, you know what, I'm not going to listen or read or do that. I'm going to watch something else. We follow the guidance of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay? We control these for our children, don't we? What they watch and what they read and all that. Who controls them for us? We do. Okay? No longer do we have people telling us what to do. We have to make our own decisions. Okay? So we resist not only the devil, but we fight him by filling our minds with things that honor the Lord. Okay? Next, James encourages his readers to confess their sins to draw near to God. See, sin acts like this. It acts like a clogged drain pipe. This is my least favorite chore in my house, is cleaning out the shower drain, because I live with two women who have long hair. Okay? And long hair clogs up drains. And I'll tell you the smell. Anyway, it's just something I don't like to do. Okay? But if the drain is plugged, the water doesn't go anywhere. Okay? So what do you have to do? You have to clean out the drain. Okay, then it works great. Okay? So the way sin works. Sin clogs up the pipe between us and God. It bogs up the communication. There's hindrances in the way. What do we do? Clean those out. How do we do that? Confession. Okay? We have to admit, confess them before the Lord, ask confession, ask forgiveness of people you've offended, and go on. Okay, we've got to clean out the drain. Finally, James gives us a wonderfully encouraging statement. No sarcasm intended. This: be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now that's a verse to go home and live on. Okay? Be wretched, mourn and weep. Alex, no laughing. Hope, only sadness. That's going to be a terrible afternoon. Okay? This is what James says. What does James mean? Is he meaning that this should be our life? It kind of goes against what Jesus said in John 10 of having life abundant and life to the full. Okay? I think what James is saying here is this. Okay, take your spiritual condition seriously. Okay, purposefully choose to avoid a friendship with the world and focus on deep, serious times with him. Don't treat your spiritual life flippantly, I think is what he's saying. Okay? Don't just go, oh, yeah, I'm believing, I got fire insurance, I go to church, I'm okay. James is saying, no. Draw near to God. Be with him. As you are, envy and jealousy will decrease. The fights and the arguments will decrease. Okay? If I've learned a few things over 20, 25 years of pastoral ministry, and it's this, okay? Arguments and fights often come from people who are not in a deep relationship with the Lord. Just comes, okay? Because when we get out of a deep relationship with the Lord, we get into a deeper relationship with ourselves, our desires, what we want, our feelings, all those things. Okay? Not always, but often. Okay? James says, return, go back, clean out the drain. Okay, fill our minds with things that honor the Lord, not things that draw us away. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anything getting in the way of our relationship with him. Okay? Not for his sake, but for ours. Okay? So that we can be the people who God has called us to be. So, whenever this green-eyed monster appears, okay, and you go, oh man, I wish I had such and such, or, oh, that person was good, but mine's better, or whatever, you know, kind of catch yourself and go, ugly monster, okay? How do I, you know, either stop the compliment, stop the statement and say, that's a really good job, keep the butt out of it, don't reverse it, just be satisfied with what God has given you and the task that he's brought before you, because your story is different than everybody else's, and that's okay, because God is the author of the story. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for James. I pray that I've done it justice, and I ask, Lord, that this truth would sink into our hearts. Jealousy and envy are two things that we struggle with. Lord, we struggle with them because we take our eyes off of you. And so, Lord, instead of jealousy and envy, would you bring contentment and satisfaction? Knowing, Lord, that you are the provider, you are the author of our stories, you are the ones who direct, you are the one who directs and guides. And Lord, may we trust that you know what is best for us as individuals and in our families. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.